Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, August the 20th, and welcome to our commentary. Today, we're going to go back and let you listen to a couple of audios that we recorded during the week. The first one is on Tuesday, and the second one on Friday. On Tuesday, we spoke about a few issues, and we looked back at August 16th, the day that Elvis Presley and Babe Ruth passed away, obviously, in different years. And then on Friday, we took a look at the Cheney-Trump debate, and we also looked at we looked ahead to a couple of races in the U.S. Senate coming in November. So sit back and enjoy a little trip to last week and a couple of recordings from last week that were not featured in any of our shows. So the first one is on Tuesday, and here it goes. Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, August the 16th, and welcome to our commentary. Later on, we're going to be recording our weekly podcast with Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda, and we're going to be talking about some very important events, obviously the FBI and the Attorney General and President Trump and some of the back and forth that is going on. I guess, by the way, just as a quick update, President Trump first said that they took his passport and then they denied it, and I guess they give it back to him, which is got to be a little embarrassing for some of the people in the media who were saying that they didn't take his passport. Some people citing sources close to the information. You know, one of these days, the media is going to realize, not all of them, some of them, are going to realize that sometimes people's sources, what they call sources close to the information, are not people who are telling them the truth. And as we see here with the passport, somebody was lying about the passport, but I guess they did give it back to President Trump. Why exactly would they take a passport? I guess they thought he was going to leave the country. Maybe they thought he, maybe open a checking account with his passport. I mean, it's insane. Why would they take the passport? More than likely, they took the passport because they were just on a mission to get whatever they could get their hands on. And that's what I think happened in this particular case. I got to shut this off for a second. What happened on this particular case? Let me say good morning to one of our friends who's checking in. But maybe that's what happened. They just went in and took whatever they found, which of course is going to create some problems, I think, for the Attorney General once the affidavit is released. Now, the affidavit is probably not going to be released yet, but you know, maybe it will. I like to see it released. I would really like to know what information was presented to the judge to do this. I would like to know that. I would really like to know that. And given the fact that this is the first time in the history of the country that we have used the FBI to go after a political leader, an ex-president, someone of the other party, I think that it may be worthwhile to show the country exactly what they were looking for. You know, I keep saying it, that if the Biden administration really wants to clear up any questions about what was in that house, they need to put together the affidavit and release it to the American public yet. Because there are some questions about the judge who signed this warrant. I don't want to judge the man, but you know, he's not exactly the most conservative judge, let's say, in Florida. Well, so we'll get into all of this with Bill Katz, our friend from Urgent Agenda. I'll be posting the podcast later on. And one of these days, I'm going to figure out how to put the podcast on the video on this particular service, but I'm working on that. So one of these days, we'll be able to do it in both places. So hang with me because I'm not the most technical kind of person. But let's talk a little bit about some primaries. There are some primaries happening in Wyoming and in Alaska. Now, the primaries are going to be very late at night, particularly in Alaska. Wyoming, we may know something by 11 o'clock or so. In both of these, the one in Alaska is very confusing because they don't have party primaries. Everybody just runs in one place in one ballot. And I guess the top four then go on to the general election. So I'm not exactly sure how that's going to turn out. But there is, of course, a Republican senator there, Lisa Murkowski, who wants to win re-election. And she has a very tough challenge from from another Republican lady. So we're going to have to wait for that one probably until Wednesday or Thursday for some indication. You know, in Alaska, they take a long time to count the votes because, you know, there's a lot of areas that are far away from the urban area. So we probably won't know anything tonight about that particular primary. Wyoming is a different story. Wyoming, definitely, Liz Cheney is going to lose. And I think the question right now is, by what margin? By what margin? I don't know. I mean, some polls that I've seen show it 20, 30 points. I don't know if it will actually be that way, but it could be. It could be based on the polling data that I've seen. I mean, I saw one today that is like 68-23 or something. That would be a huge, embarrassing defeat for Liz Cheney. And look, I will say this, as I've said many times before, I'm a huge fan of her father, Dick Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney. I thought he was the right man at the right time when we had to protect the country almost 20 years ago. So I'm a big fan of President Bush and Vice President Cheney and the great work that they did protecting the country. The problem here is Liz Cheney, that Liz Cheney let her anger about President Trump basically get in the way. Look, I understand she was angry that President Trump said some things about her father. I can understand that. If somebody said some things about my father, I would be very angry too. But, you know, that happens in politics. I mean, the interesting thing about all of this is that some of the people that she is sitting with in this committee, some of the Democrats that she's sitting with in this committee said things about her father that were a lot worse than what Donald Trump said about her father. And some of the men and women who she's sitting with in that committee, Democrats, did not want to certify her father's reelection back in 2004 when he ran for reelection, of course, with President Bush. So, you know, if she's going to get angry at what Donald Trump said about her father, well, she's sitting around with some people who said some pretty nasty things about her father, too. So let's remember that. But I think Liz Cheney basically put her hatred of Trump over her political career. And, you know, hatred is one of those things that will drive you to do some very, very stupid things. And that's all I can tell you. So I'm kind of sad to see Liz Cheney go, but I think if you take Trump out of the conversation, she's been a very good conservative Republican member of Congress. But she really did herself in, completely did herself in with the way she reacted, to Donald Trump. Had she told Speaker Pelosi in January of this year, yes, I will participate in this January 6th committee, but only if the January 6th committee is done correctly and done, for example, like the Watergate committee 40 years ago, where both sides had representation, where there was opportunity for cross-examination. Had they done that, had she done that, insisted on that, I don't think she would be losing the primary today. Because I think this loss today is more about the way she's acted on the January 6th committee, not so much the impeachment vote. I think she could have survived that. But I think it's the way she acted on January the 6th and the things that she has said about President Trump, which were just as crazy, frankly, as the things that President Trump said about her father. So Liz Cheney looks like she's going down tonight, and that's the end of a political career, as they like to say. We'll probably be talking a little bit about this and what's happening with Iran. Also, we'll be talking about that with my friend Bill Katz later on. So listen to the podcast later on. On this day in history, we're going to remember a couple of things on August 16th. The first one is a year ago, and that was the collapse of Afghanistan, something that I think was one of the biggest foreign policy mistakes of recent years. Look, we didn't have to get out this way. I was of the opinion that we didn't have to get out at all. I think leaving a military force behind would have been just the right thing to do. You leave behind 3,000 soldiers, you know, you put them in different bases. They're not fighting. They're just there as an insurance policy. And that was really the thing to do. But we didn't. We decided to put them all out. And look what happened. The country has collapsed. And now you've got the wrong people running the country. And I have a post, today, over at the American Thinker talking about the way they're treating women. I mean, my gosh, you know, the feminists ought to be enraged by the way that the Taliban is treating women. It's like we're going back to the 90s and how they used to treat women and shut them out of schools and shut them out of any opportunities. What a terrible thing that they're doing. But that's what happens when people like that take over a country. A couple of things on this day in history that I have to tell you, I found this very amusing. These two items, because if I had said to you that Elvis Presley and Babe Ruth passed away on the same day, well, not the same year, of course, but the same day, August 16th, I think a lot of you would have probably done a fact check on me. But that's in fact what happened. Elvis Presley died on this day in 1977 and Babe Ruth on this day in 1948. Now, Babe had been very sick. Again, he didn't take very good care of himself, just like Mickey Mantle. And toward the end of his life, well, things were going quite poorly for him. And he passed away. I think it was cancer, the official reason. But again, he didn't take very good care of himself. And he died rather young at age 53. But no question that Babe Ruth was the number one baseball player of the 20th century. I mean, the most consequential baseball player. He was the one who put people in the seats. You have to remember that there was something called the White Sox scandal of 1919 that almost killed the game professionally. And it took Babe Ruth to put people back in the seats when he began hitting home runs and he began his domination of Major League Baseball in the 1920s. That's what saved the game. That's what saved the game, Babe Ruth in the 1920s. But again, he had a crazy lifestyle. He did not take care of himself. So as a consequence, he died very young. And yes, there was the curse of the Bambino. Let's not forget that. One of my friends just reminded me of that. The curse of the Bambino happened when the Red Sox traded Babe Ruth to the Yankees. And that happened in 1920 when Babe Ruth was a young pitcher and he was traded to the Yankees. And then when they traded him to the Yankees, somebody created something, the curse of the Bambino. And that means that the Red Sox were never again going to win a World Series. Well, it almost happened that way because they didn't win one between 1918 and 2004. So the curse of the Bambino. Now, I mentioned the curse of the Bambino also because Babe Ruth had a bunch of nicknames. Bambino, the Sultan of SWAT. I mean, had a bunch of nicknames, as you would expect. Now, Elvis Presley passed away on this day in 1977. I remember that quite well, hearing it on the radio and then staying up pretty much all night watching David Brinkley of ABC News talking about, I think NBC News back then, talking about all of this. And Elvis also didn't take very good care of himself and died rather young. He was 42. And both of these men, in their own way, really were superstars. Elvis as a musician, of course, and Babe Ruth as a baseball player, but two of the most consequential men of the 20th century in their respective fields, of course, Elvis in music and Babe Ruth in baseball, two of the also most interesting personalities, I would say, characters, as they like to say, especially the Babe. Babe Ruth was quite a character to say the least. Well, check out our podcast with Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. I want to say thank you to the folks who put up comments. Always appreciate seeing that. And we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas on the day that Elvis and Babe Ruth passed away. Wow. I bet some of you didn't believe me when I said that, but you can check it. You can check it. It did happen on August the 16th, just obviously different years, obviously. So have a wonderful day, everybody, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Well, this is Silvio Canto back again with you. Well, we recorded that one on Tuesday, and we were remembering back then the passing of Elvis and Babe Ruth on the same day, obviously different years. And then on Friday, we recorded another one. And here that one goes. So listen to our audio from Friday. And thanks again so much for tuning in. Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Friday, August the 19th. And welcome to our commentary. Just a quick heads up on Friday night, we will be recording a podcast with our friend Barry Castleman. Barry is one of the best in the business at political analysis. He's been doing it for over 50 years. Used to have his own newspaper, and then here more recently, he has his own website called The Prairie Editor. And we're going to be talking with Barry about 2022 and the political campaign. It's starting to get hot right now. Labor Day is usually the point where most of these campaigns actually get going. So we'll talk about the U.S. Senate and the prospects for the Senate. The Senate right now is 50-50. So it doesn't take much one way or the other for a majority to be created. And I think as a conservative Republican, obviously, I want to see the Republicans controlling the Senate, because you got judges and you have other issues that come before the Senate. And we want to make sure that we've got at least 51 votes to make anything happen or to stop anything coming from the Biden administration. So check out the podcast. They're always very good when Barry joins us for these podcasts. I have a post over at the American Thinker today. I'd like you to check it out. And where I am talking about something very interesting has happened with the Democrats. It used to be that for the Democrats, the most dangerous man in the country was Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney's father. He was the most dangerous man in the country. But now the most dangerous man, I guess it's Donald Trump. And even Liz Cheney herself, in a rather foolish moment, is running around saying that she's going to be working very hard to make sure that Donald Trump, the most dangerous man in the country, never becomes president. And frankly, I like this Liz Cheney a lot, as I've said many times before. If you look at her voting record, really she was a very conservative Republican until this January 6th committee happened, when she decided to become a puppet of Speaker Pelosi and become the token Republican in a committee that has frankly been a political farce, to say the least. But let me shut this down here. Forgive me for having to do that. I always think, it's funny. Whenever I'm doing these things, I shut it down, but for some reason, it still rings. I'm going to have to go to my settings and figure this out. But anyway, Liz Cheney has really become obsessed with Donald Trump, and now you have all these people talking about how dangerous Donald Trump would be as president. And I find it laughable, and that's what my post is about, because these were the same people who used to tell us that her father, Dick Cheney, was the most dangerous man in the country. So it's amusing. It's amusing, to say the least. But when I hear Liz Cheney talk about the most dangerous man in the country, really? More dangerous than Bernie Sanders? More dangerous than Elizabeth Warren? I mean, come on, give me a break. We can have disagreements, but to say the most dangerous man in the country, I think you lose me when you go to extremes like that, to say the least. So check out my post. It's over at the American Thinker, and I think you'll enjoy it a great deal. I always get a lot of comments over at the American Thinker, and that's for really the reason for that is because there's a large number of people who check out that website. The American Thinker is a very popular website, has been around for over 15 years. Now, if you're a baseball fan and you live in this area, then I'm sure you know that the Texas Rangers, the local baseball team, has made a lot of changes. We began the week with the news that Chris Woodward, the field manager, was fired. That happened on Monday. And then on Wednesday, the really big shocker, when President John Daniels was fired. Now, John Daniels has been with the team since 2006, and he was really the man who spearheaded those great Rangers teams that we got to see play between 2010 and 2016. People forget just how successful the Rangers were there for about a seven-year period. I mean, they were in the postseason just about every year. They got into the World Series twice. They won four division titles. They had some great players during that streak. And all of that, you know, it has to be credited to John Daniels. I mean, he was the man running the team. Obviously, when you're running a team, there's a lot of people who participate in the victory. But clearly, with Daniels at the top, the Rangers were very, very successful. But then everything went downhill after that, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and now 22. The club has been on a terrible losing streak. And it's honestly, at times, they're very difficult to watch, especially when you remember all those great teams not long ago. So the ownership of the team came out and said, we're going to get rid of John Daniels as well. So in 1 week, we saw something that I don't think had ever happened before here with the Texas Rangers, and that is that the field manager and the man in charge of all the operations was fired the same week. It was, to say the least, it shook up a lot of people, and because we had never seen changes like that. But as the owner was saying, I was watching the press conference by Mr. Davis, who's the owner of the team. He was saying, look, you know, we're not winning. I don't like losing. And, you know, when you lose in professional sports, when you win, a lot of the credit. But when you lose, you know, the blame usually goes to the president or the general manager. So we wish John Daniels the best. I've always liked John Daniels. I thought not only was he a very good baseball executive, but he was always a straight shooter. He was always a straight shooter with the fans and with the media. So I always liked him a lot for that reason. You know, he was always willing to take questions, and he took a lot of questions as president of the team. So I'm sure he'll be off for a year, year and a half or so. And I have no doubt that he'll end up running another baseball team probably in the next 3 to 5 years. He's a very talented guy, has quite a reputation in the industry. So I'm sure that we will see him again, but with another team down the road. What happens to the Rangers now? Well, the new guy in charge of operations is Chris Young, who was a former major league pitcher and has been in the organization for a couple of years. By the way, Chris Young is from Highland Park right here in the Dallas. He has maybe a little incentive for the local team, his local team, the team that he grew up watching, for that team to succeed. He's a very talented guy, but he's never run a team before. So I'm sure he'll be facing some challenges. The biggest one, of course, is the roster and making some roster changes in the offseason. That's going to be his biggest challenge. And that is always a big challenge. And, you know, we're hoping that a year from now, we're talking about winning Ranger baseball rather than the product that we've seen here for the last couple of years. So good luck to everybody and good luck to the Rangers fans. I happen to be optimistic about the Rangers. I think they will be better next year, much better, because they have a lot of young talent that is really starting to show their talent. But it always takes time. It always takes time. And when you keep on losing, you got to blame somebody. And in this case, the easy person to blame was the guy running the operations of the baseball team. So good luck to John Daniels as he moves forward. And good luck to Chris Young running the Rangers at the moment. We're going to say goodbye today by wishing happy number 87 to Bobby Richardson. Bobby Richardson was one of the great Yankee players of the late 50s, early 60s. He was the second baseman with the New York Yankees when they were winning a bunch of pennants during that time. He was not one of the best-known players. That's what usually happens when you have other superstars like Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris and Whitey Ford. I mean, it's tough to get headlines. But he was a very reliable second baseman and really one of the best at his trade in baseball, no question about it. Very popular guy, a good guy, playing second base for the Yankees. But I think we remember Bobby Richardson for something else. When Mickey Mantle passed away in 1995, it was Bobby Richardson who delivered the eulogy. And if you ever want to check it out, it's on YouTube. Just put Bobby Richardson, eulogy, Mickey Mantle. And he delivered an amazing eulogy. Now, since leaving baseball, and I didn't know this until the Mantle funeral, since leaving baseball, he became a minister, a pastor. And I'm not exactly sure where his church is, but, you know, he's been a pastor all these years. Maybe he's retired by now. I don't know. But nevertheless, he went into, he became a pastor after finishing his baseball career. And he delivered one of the greatest eulogies that you will ever hear about a baseball player and a friend, because he was a friend of Mickey Mantle. And as all of you know, Mickey Mantle was not a perfect human being. He had many problems in his life. He had great talent, but at the same time, he had many problems. And much of it was self-inflicted because of addictions and problems that he had. But this eulogy from Bobby Richardson just put, you know, humanized Mickey Mantle in a way that, you know, even if you don't know who Mickey Mantle was, watching Bobby Richardson talk about him was just an amazing experience. So happy number 87 to Bobby Richardson. Not only a great baseball player, I have his baseball card somewhere, I'm sure, in our collection of baseball cards. But not only was he a great baseball player, but the eulogy that he delivered for his friend Mickey Mantle was something worth watching, worth listening to. Don't forget to check out our interview with Barry Castleman tonight in the podcast. And we will talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And have a great weekend, everybody. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for catching up with a couple of our audio features from last week. I hope you enjoyed them. We don't always get a chance to include them in the regular podcast, but that's what we usually do on Saturdays. We do it that way. I also want to tell you that we have those podcasts, the one with Barry Castleman and the one with Bill Katz. They're in the inventory of podcasts from last week. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, folks, and we'll talk to you later.